a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. In today's message, we are looking at John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Almighty God, we come this morning, ever thankful for the blessings in our lives, ever thankful that we can just give it to you. And in you, we will be made whole, pure, and clean. And so, Lord, as we gather around your word today, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had someone do something for you, you know, kind of an act, which may have seemed small at the time, but you realize later it was really quite big? Well, maybe someone bought you something that you needed when you realized later that they may have given up buying themselves something, or maybe they couldn't quite afford it. Or maybe someone drove well out of their way to come see you when you needed company at a time of need. Or maybe they gave up an important event or other commitment that they had just to spend that time with you. I've experienced these things in my life, for sure. I think about my parents, you know, driving me pretty well across the province so that I could play basketball or track and field or whatever it was I was chasing at that point in my life. It wasn't until much later that I realized some of the sacrifice they may have made in order for me to pursue some of these activities I really enjoyed and loved. And there certainly have been times when I've maybe given up something as well. I've given up things. I've given up events so that I could be with others when they needed company. I would have liked to have gone to the event that I was planning to go to. Sure, that's why I wanted to go. But sometimes friendship, sometimes family is more important. I'm sure we've all been on the receiving end of such a sacrifice in some point in our lives. And I'm sure there's been times when we've also sacrificed time or commitments for others. Often it's just the right thing to do, right? Even if common sense tells us that the other thing we had to do should be more important. Like, after all, we paid all that money for the tickets. Why don't we go? Relationships, they're the most important thing. Material possessions like money or concerts or even careers at times, those are secondary. Because when you think about it, without relationships, we have nothing. So giving up money or events or trips for someone we care about, there's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, I think if we asked Jesus about it, he'd be quite pleased at times that we were doing such things. Throughout Lent, our scripture readings, we're going to follow Jesus pretty closely in his final days or even his final hours of his life as he moves toward Good Friday. Our readings will reflect the events of those final hours as he heads to the cross. And today we're seeing Jesus in a room with the disciples. It's their last meal together, although the disciples don't realize it. This is what we call the Last Supper. In the Gospel of John, at the start of the meal, Jesus gets up and he takes on a particular role with his friends. He takes off his outer robes. He picks up a towel, he ties it around their waist, and grabs a basin of water. He's going to wash their feet, his friends' feet. No big deal, right? I mean, they've been out walking the dirty streets of Jerusalem, wearing only sandals. There's the byproducts of all the animals that wander the streets as well. So Jesus, you know, he probably just wants to wash the stink out of the room, right? Maybe he's got a more sensitive nose than others. But the thing is, he shouldn't be doing it. Yes, it is customary for the guests at a meal to have their feet washed. But it's not the most important person in the room that does it. For Jesus to wash the feet of his friends was kind of like maybe the prime minister washing the feet of his cabinet. It's not going to happen. There are servants who are supposed to be doing this job. People who kind of stand off in the shadows, making sure all the needs are met for everyone in the room. I suppose to follow that government example, we may be looking at pages or interns, people who are pretty well unacknowledged, unimportant, seen as unimportant, you know, by the group that they're serving. So to wash the feet of the guests in your home in Jesus' time is the job of a servant or a slave. It's not a glamorous job for sure. I mean, they have been out walking those dirty Jerusalem streets. There's no pavement. There's no sidewalks. There's no big machines driving up down the street sweeping up all the litter. This is an agricultural city. There's wildlife, cows and cattle, and just walking the streets all the time doing whatever they want, whenever they want, wherever they want. So it's pretty clear to the disciples that something special is happening. And Jesus is Peter is actually resisting Jesus doing this to him. He says, because it's not Jesus' job, right? He actually says, "You will never wash my feet." And then Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Jesus is making a pretty strong statement to his friends right now. They know that someone in the position of Jesus should never be the one to wash the feet of the guests. In fact, he should have never even considered it. The thought should have never entered his mind as something to do. Because there are people who do that. There are the servants. That is their job. Make sure everyone is comfortable. Make sure their feet are clean. I mean, the owner of the house would have never thought of it. It just wouldn't happen that way. And here's Jesus. He's the most important man in the room. He's the most influential. He's the most powerful. He is their leader. And here he is taking on the lowliest of jobs in the room at that point for the meal. It's unthinkable for the disciples that someone like Jesus would do this. It's unimaginable in the society in which they live that someone of the position of Jesus would take on such a role for others. It just doesn't happen that way. But we're getting used to Jesus kind of turning the tables on us, isn't he? Aren't we? He says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Sounds like there's more happening here than just the cleaning of some feet. Peter seems to realize it, because when Jesus says, "You'll have no part with me," he says, "Then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Peter wants everything Jesus has to offer him. He wants more, far more. If washing the feet means he gets to be part of Jesus, then wash him all. Clean him, head to foot. Now, I could go off on a number of sermons about the importance of being washed clean by Jesus. I could preach about how we need to go to Jesus with the cross to be cleansed by him, by his blood. I could have asked if you've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And I could ask if you're in a committed relationship with him. I could do that because that is an important thing for us to consider. What is our relationship with Jesus? But that's not the point of our passage today. This passage in John is not a passage where Jesus is inviting people to follow him by telling them some great things about the kingdom of God. It's not about Jesus teaching people to have a relationship with him, through God with him. He's at a point now, he's past that. He's in the final hours of his earthly life. He's hours away from his arrest and crucifixion on the cross, and he knows it. So as he's sitting in this room with his closest friends for the last 3 years, he has a message just for them tonight. And by extension, it comes to us today. Seems like the disciples, they're getting a pretty good grasp about who Jesus is now. And so Peter has pretty much said as much when he said, "Wash completely, Jesus." So here's Jesus' final message to his friends at the Last Supper. He says, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher, you call me Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So what is he saying? He's saying a few things, but the one that captures my attention this morning is that no one is greater than anyone else in the eyes of God. Jesus is saying that the master and the servants, they are equal. Now, does God love me more than you because I'm the preacher, the pastor? No, he doesn't. We're all the same in the eyes of God. He loves us equally. And he says we should treat each other equally as well. This is the message Jesus has on his last night together with his friends. This is the legacy he has chosen to leave behind, the seed that he has planted in their heads, because he knows he will die soon. No one is greater than anyone else in the eyes of God. And as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, we are being asked to live this out. Love one another, serve one another as Jesus loves us. If we love him and if we're in relationship with him, which is the most important relationship we can have, then we will do as he asks, love and serve. Now, how this actually lives out in practice can look different. It can have many different faces. On one hand, it could mean sending leftover pizza to the elementary school. Yesterday, we had our Holy Spirit weekend here, and I ordered pizza for 40 people, because that's how many people we've been having coming to Alpha through the last few weeks. And 20 showed up. And not only that, but they got one of the pizzas wrong, so I had to call them up and say, you got one of my pizzas wrong. So they sent over an extra pizza. So we had food for about 50 to 60 people. So I knew that there's a basketball tournament next door at this elementary school, so I took over 3 full pizzas as our leftovers, so to speak, so that they could have it in their canteen. It could also mean that we're just stopping by to see a friend if they're having a tough week. It could mean running errands for someone or taking them to appointments. It could mean many, many things. It all depends on what we see happening around us and how we think God can use us in our neighborhoods and our communities and the places we serve. We should love and serve one another as Christ Jesus loves and serves us. And yes, he still serves us today. Christ serves us through the promises he makes in the Bible to watch over us, to send the Holy Spirit to walk with us and guide us. And certainly, Jesus still blesses us, and he speaks to us today. So many of you I know do great things, helping out friends and family in their times of need. And thank you for what you do. It is very important, and the people who receive your care, I know they're greatly appreciative of everything you do for them. So keep up the good work. You are indeed a blessing. And Jesus himself has kind words for the work that you're doing. If you look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, he says this, "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." To serve in the name of Jesus is not only a blessing to those who serve, but it's also a blessing for us as well. And Jesus says we will not lose our reward if we serve in his name. This is the work of the church, to love and serve others in the name of Jesus and to encourage people in their own faith development. I mean, this is part of what we do here on Sunday mornings. We come, we worship God, we praise God, we have a little bit of faith development at times, and we come to connect with Jesus and be inspired to go out and serve in his name. On top of doing things like giving pizza to the elementary school, we as a church were also a sponsor of the basketball tournament T.L. Sullivan last weekend. We gave them some money so that they could get their awards to hand out to the players for playing a sport that they just loved to play. And it was greatly appreciated. And all through the weekend, our banner hung on the wall. It's just as a simple reminder that we are here and that we're willing to help if needed. And of course, there's other things like we support the food bank, we support Community Cares, we support the cemetery, and the many great organizations that we help out. Not only that, but I know a lot of you serve on boards of organizations. You volunteer your time all over the place, and you're doing your best to serve. This is how people come to know Jesus, through the visible work of the church, reaching out with hands of love and support in His name, just as Jesus asks us to do. It's not always about evangelism. It's not always about going out and telling stories about the great things Jesus has done. Sometimes it is just as simple as giving a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty, or dropping off pizza, or sending a few bucks to a school, or volunteering at a nursing home, or a school, or the food bank, or wherever. Or sometimes it's just as simple as sitting and listening to someone's story. There's so many ways to serve. All things I think Jesus would have happily taken part of if He were here today. Oh wait, He is. Jesus is here today. Christ Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior, He lives and reigns with us still today. He lives in our hearts and also through the work of our hands as we serve those in the world around us. So, as we continue His work, may He bless us and may we be a blessing to those we serve in His holy name. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, what a gift it is to serve You as we also serve others. May You bless our work, giving us the joy only You can give as we do this important work You call us to do. May Your Holy Spirit guide us in this work, and may those who receive also be blessed by You. We thank You for this reminder that we are Your servants in this world. We are Your hands, we are Your feet, called to love and share in Your name. May You continue to guide and lead us. And if there is opportunity, may we also be so bold to share our story and our faith in You as we go. We pray this in Your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.